138-0 to kick a bunch of pedophiles out of our state.
Yes, sir.
And the Senate gets down on their knees and licks their boots.
I want to talk to you about treachery, about treason, about abuse of power, and the authoritarian control grid that is destroying our constitutional republic. On May 24, 2011, the U.S. attorney sent a threatening letter to the Texas State House informing the Texas Senate that if they passed the bill that had been unanimously passed by the House, 138-0, blocking TSA from violating state and federal law, groping men, women, and children's genitals, including Miss America, who was violated in Dallas, that if they did their duty, their job, and followed common sense and the Constitution and stopped this molestation that was going on and is still ongoing, that the feds would blockade all air travel in and out of Texas, the second most populous state in the nation, with mega cities like Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. They said, if you try to stop our TSA agents from actually sticking their hands in people's pants, not just grabbing their genitals on the outside and running their hands down into the crease of people's rear end. Can't believe I even have to talk about this in America, this extreme power grab, that if they tried to enforce the law in this state, that the feds would create a no-fly zone over the state of Texas, a blockade, an act of war. Well, the Texas House said, fine, we don't care. We've passed the bill. We're doing the right thing. Don't mess with Texas. Let's have this confrontation. Let's call your bluff. Now, in the Senate, of 31 senators in the Texas Senate, they had 30 of the 31, a supermajority. Governor Perry claimed he was going to sign it. Well, his crony, David Dewhurst, with a long history in the CIA and coups in Latin America, Klaus Barbie, the Nazi. I mean, you can't make stuff up like this. David Dewhurst, under Justice Department orders, with federal lobbyists violating Texas ethics rules, went on the floor of the House and threatened the members into removing their yes vote. And so the bill was pulled. And we now know about this because of State Senator Dan Patrick of Houston going public in the San Antonio Express News, the Austin American Statesman, the Houston Chronicle, and saying that Dewhurst did not want this information to get out. He didn't want his fingerprints on it, but everybody witnessed it, that he twisted arms and helped expand the threat of a federal blockade or a no-fly zone over Texas that the Justice Department brazenly issued, which is an act of war under international law. It's what they're doing to Gaddafi right now in Libya. They said no air traffic in or out of Texas. And instead of the Senate going forward and calling the feds bluff, David Dewhurst twisted arms and ensured that the bill died. Well, we got word of this. Now, there was still time to try to get the bill back on the Senate floor. I called spontaneously in the last hour of my radio show on Wednesday, May 25th, for folks to get in their cars, to get down to the Texas Capitol, and to go in there and to confront these federal minions that are trying by stealth to allow the TSA to continue their activities. Dewhurst did not want anyone to know that he was the one that killed this legislation. Not only is he for the groping and the federal domination, but he doesn't want you to know that because he understands how incredibly unpopular these TSA rape down, grope downs are. This is absolutely outrageous. And everyone needs to remember that as Dewhurst prepares to run for Kay Bailey Hutchinson's Senate seat, that we need a real constitutionalist, a real patriot, and not some corrupt rhino. It shows you how much the establishment Republicans love the police state, and they want to break the will of the American people along with their socialist communist cohorts in the Obama administration. David Dewhurst needs to go ahead and join with Obama and join with the neocons and stop acting like he's a patriot.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, I want to play a few minutes from the CBS 60 Minutes hit piece that aired a few nights ago. And one of the main people they zeroed in on is a radio host, publisher of the Anti-Shyster News magazine, ran for Texas Supreme Court, identified by the federal government as one of the top dozen anti-government activists during the 1990s, adask.wordpress.com is his website, and here's the headline, A Look at the Sovereign Citizen Movement. Meanwhile, we have foreign banks openly stealing $27 trillion. We haven't gotten new numbers in a year. That was 2 years in. We have the Bill of Rights being trampled. We have the TSA out of their jurisdiction, outside federal and state law, sticking their hands down children's pants and saying they're going to ignore the state law passed, saying they can't do it. I read earlier articles are pouring in mainstream TV, is admitting that, in Tennessee and other states, that police all over are pulling over even prominent people. That's when they get in trouble, is when it's a judge or country music singer, you name it. It's happening to everybody, old ladies, and they're taking as low as $100 out of their wallet. You got proof that $100 is yours? Give it to me. Cops are plugging their cell phones in, stealing all their data. Look, this happens in history over and over again. It's called tyranny. Here's some of the news items. While you were sleeping, they abolished the Fourth Amendment. U.S. Supreme Court claims that if they hear sounds, they don't need a warrant to go in your house. And those against the decision said it's the end of the Fourth Amendment. The Indiana Supreme Court stated, for any reason, including no reason at all, no Fourth Amendment. And I read the head judge's quote. He said, there is no Fourth Amendment. I mean, they said, we can do whatever we want, even without a reason. And he went on and attacked Magna Carta and said it was unreasonable. Again, the government works for us. You got to go to an elected judge to get that warrant. You got to be able to face your accuser. It's all out the window. I mean, now they admit devices are spying on everything. No Fourth Amendment, no Tenth Amendment. They're coming after the Second. The ATF's been caught. Now we learned for 2 years shipping tens of thousands of guns into Mexico to the drug cartels to trace them back here so they could then say we got to restrict and ban semi-autos, which they did. And they don't even care they got caught. They're still going ahead. I mean, this, it's bigger than Obama, folks. It's total mafia, okay? He's just their front man. So you learn to hate him. They pull him out, put a new one in. While you were sleeping, they abolished the Fourth Amendment. Here's another report. Globalist secret weapon kill chips. CNN now has a report out admitting, yes, industry's putting kill switches, takeover switches and everything. The president is to start breaking in with videos and text, bossing you around. They're now announcing the feds are going to break into local radio and TV, not for emergency alerts, but just with brainwashing. Telescreens going in 9,000 locations saying spy on your neighbors. Public schools nationwide with AI software cameras tracking the kids, recording everything they say, run by the Pentagon. Laptops the school gives the kids with taxpayer money paid for, spying on them at school. Schools don't care. They're out in the open. We're being bum-rushed by the criminal class. I mean, they're just running wild. Their theory is a blitzkrieg of corruption. Just hit us. Anybody who speaks out. We got the Homeland Security Mike reports 2 years ago. Gun owners, conservatives, returning veterans, Ron Paul supporters, people that want to end the Fed, anybody that criticizes the central banks are marked for arrest. And they're trying to brainwash the cops. And that's what this show said. If you don't worship the government, you want to kill cops. That's the message. Globalist secret weapon exposed. Tech kill chips. Continuing. Federally mandated light bulbs go into effect next year. $50 each. Owned by GE. GE shutting down all the other power plants that they basically don't owe. They're given waivers. There's a new list out of the thousands of groups that have been given the presidential waiver. I did not have to get insurance. It's government clubs, Nancy Pelosi restaurants, McDonald's, General Electric, just total mafia where you've got to buy the socialist health care from the insurance company. But anybody who's part of the inside group, their employees don't have to have it so they can beat you with unfair trade advantage. Just total blind mafia. Neo-eco-fascist light bulbs cost $50 each. Look at this one. And this is out of Fox Business. Philly police harassed, threatened to shoot man legally carrying gun. Legal to carry, open? The cops beat him up, cuss at him, all recorded, and said, we don't care what the law is, and just throttled him and talked about, we'll blow your head off. A slave doesn't have a gun. We'd play the audio, but there's so many F-bombs from the cops, we can't do it. Spokane photographers considered suspicious Al-Qaeda types. We have the newscast where the police say, spy on your neighbors. Anyone photographing's evil, get them. But the government surveilling us. TSA backscatter radiation safety tests were rigged. They wouldn't give Congress the studies for a year. Then they gave them fake studies. That's out. Here's the Middle Tennessee police profiting from drug trade, robbing cash. Here's the CNN article I mentioned, why gadget makers wield a kill switch. Well, it's a federal mandate. TSA responds to Texas, resistance is futile. We're going to play this clip and then go to Alfred Adask, who would dare chronicle the crime of the crime syndicate, who would dare point out the 10th and 9th Amendment of the states. That's why they hate him so much. Let's go ahead and play a few minutes, and it gets even worse. They say in the newscast, if you criticize the Fed or anybody else, you're a cop killer. And the cops say, we've got to know who these people are. We got to have a list. Well, that's what these threat fusion centers are all about. They want to know who the real Americans are. Here's the clip.
Oh, what is a sovereign citizen?
Sovereign citizen, in its simplest form, believes that he is above the law.
J.J. McNabb has been studying sovereign citizens for a decade. She's testified before Congress and is writing a book about the movement.
He has a twisted sense of history, and he thinks that people who lived in the 18th century were free of all legal constraints, and they want to return to that time now.
Didn't have a Federal Reserve.
Jerry and Joe Kane were part of an anti-government
didn't
movement
have an
whose
income
roots
tax.
Go back to the racist Posse Comitatus
didn't have a standing
in the 1970s
army.
And the Montana Freeman of the 90s. Convicted Oklahoma City bomber Terry Nichols was a sovereign citizen.
That was a federal operation,
tax
totally proven.
By actor Wesley Snipes, convicted of tax evasion in 2008.
He used tax loopholes the private banks use.
Sovereign language.
Average sovereign citizen.
But they're the only ones allowed to pay zero tax.
30,
big bankers.
35, and is in economic dire straits.
Yeah, because of big fat parasites like you.
Job. They've probably lost the wife.
Paranoid?
Many are.
Conspiracy theorists?
Most are.
Do you trust the government? I would argue that it's un-American to trust the government.
Alfred Adask has been a sovereign citizen for 28 years. He's what's called a sovereign guru, one of the movement's leading voices. A roofer by trade, Adask once published a magazine critical of the legal system.
How dare you?
Why is the sovereign citizen movement growing?
What's driving people to it is they are beginning to understand that the government has moved away from fundamental principles that this nation is built on. Where are the limits in limited government? The sovereignty movement is attempting to rediscover those limits and reassert them.
You're eligible for Social Security?
Yes, sir.
Do you collect?
No.
Why not?
If you take these benefits, you wind up being in the status of a subject rather than a sovereign.
You pay taxes?
When they're due. You don't necessarily, it's not true that everyone has to pay taxes.
Has the IRS ever come after you for back taxes?
Yes.
Did you pay?
No.
You don't like this government very much, do you?
I think the government has gone far beyond its constitutional limits. They think, hey, we're not obligated, we're the government, we can do anything. And some people are saying, no, I don't think you can.
Adask, like other sovereign groups.
All right, that's Alfred Adask. And he joins us now for 5 minutes into the next hour. We have a surprise guest for about 30 minutes or so after that in studio. Alfred, they are moving now from getting rid of the Bill of Rights in the name of fighting their Al-Qaeda brigades, which are now the heroes in Libya, we're told, to the domestic groups. I believe they're really thinking about staging some new domestic events so they can really come after people like you and I. And it shows they're getting scared because you and others are calling them out, Alfred.
Well, I agree with you. And I think, you know, they have certainly stepped up their activity in recent times, but that's not necessarily evidence that they're becoming more powerful. It may be evidence that they're becoming more desperate. They realize this thing is coming to a head, and they're trying to grab whatever they can before the whole thing explodes in their face. I think they see the direction things are going, and I think they are perhaps desperate to stop people like you and me, thousands, millions of others that are beginning to understand, you know, this can't continue.
Yeah, they're not building hardened bunkers in every city, and then we get the internal training manuals. It's not for guys wearing turbans that they know work for them.
Yeah.
It's for the American people. They know they're criminals.
Yeah. Now, we are living in difficult, dangerous, and interesting times. And the most important thing is to stand up. You know, the worst thing you can possibly do right now is hunker down and be quiet. It's precisely when they come up and they try to hit us with as much force as possible. They do that to intimidate people into being quiet. They do it to intimidate you into fear. You can't succumb to it. Now is the time when you really have to stand up. And if at all possible, you need to stand up with other people at the same time.
Yeah, they're like a marlin fish on the line that's desperate and runs out 100 or 200 yards. That fish is getting tired. When he finally runs the hardest, you know he's about to give up. That's why they're sticking the hands down the baby's pants. That's why they're beating up photographers, because they're running on that line desperately. They got blood coming out their mouth. Their heart's beating. Their muscles are burning. They're about to implode.
Yeah, I agree. So the point to this is that, you know, if this system was operating smoothly, and if they were really running this operation, people wouldn't even be complaining. They wouldn't be suspecting. The sheep would be sheared, and they would thank the guy that sheared them and say, well, thanks very much for taking my fleece. It's because the system is on the edge of maybe losing control that it becomes desperate. That means now is the time for people like us, people that are listening to this program, you got to stand up. This is our opportunity. It's not just our danger, it is our opportunity.
All right, we're going to come back. Let's chronicle some of their greatest crimes, their big frauds. The TSA saying resistance is futile. We can stick our hands down your pants anywhere we want. We are God. Where they're going, and the type of persecution you've been under. We'll be right back. Alfred Adask is our guest. Folks, have you studied the Bill of Rights, Constitution, history? In any country in history, this would be called tyranny, what we're living under. And I've got to be honest, I admire the illegal aliens. Most of them don't pay any taxes. They don't have any ID. They do whatever they want. And because they do it as a group, they're sovereign. They walk into a bank, no ID, they're given it. Citizens, though, are kept basically like slaves, and the system wants to keep us down. It's like in that clip from A Bug's Life with the grasshoppers talking about if you let one ant stand up, all the ants might stand up. And I got to say, the illegal aliens behave a lot more like old-time Americans did than we do. And now the globalists want them there to drive down wages. That's why they let them, you know, get away with it. But more and more, Alfred, I think it's because the illegal aliens just won't put up with it. But continue breaking down why they're coming after the sovereign citizen movement, who this New World Order is, and where you think we're going.
The whole idea behind sovereignty, the sovereignty movement, I mean, I don't even like that term. For me, it's not a movement. I'm not a member of any group.
Freedom.
Per se. Well, what it is, it's an idea whose time has come again. That's what it comes down to. And the whole question about sovereignty is who's running this country? Are we the people running this country, or is the government running this country? What the sovereign citizens are essentially saying, we the people, just like it says in the Constitution, we're running this country. And the government says, no, you're not. You're a bunch of subjects. And that's what this is about. Who is in control? The government says, we got to obey all their laws. But the problem is the law goes in levels. You got God's law, number one. And then you have the law of the people, number two, and that law is enshrined in the constitutions at the state and federal level. That's the people's law. And then we get the law passed by government down at the bottom. The government says, well, you got to obey our law. And we're saying, no, you got to obey our law. You got to obey our law in the Constitution. And the government says, no, we don't have to obey the Constitution, but you got to obey our law. That's the guts of the sovereignty problem right now. Whose law is going to be followed? And ultimately, you're going to have God's law at the top.
Well, take these clergy response teams that Genesis talk show host Pastor Butch Paul first discovered. I was then sent hundreds and hundreds of pages, and the preacher got threatened over it. And people didn't believe the documents till 2 years later when national and local TV covered it and said how great it was. Oh, that tens of thousands of preachers are trained per year secretly to tell their flocks to submit and do whatever government says, because Romans 13, out of context, Hitler's favorite verse to control the Germans. Well, in America, we the people are the government. So render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And
that's,
you know,
exactly
that idiot.
Right. Exactly.
And that idiot from 60 Minutes was going, you know, you don't like the government. Alfred Adask is the government. You don't like to pay your taxes. We didn't have this till 1913. This is alien. Go ahead.
Well, nobody's crazy about paying taxes, but the government's not crazy about obeying the Constitution. What is worse, handful of people who aren't paying taxes or a government that's not obeying the Constitution? Why should we pay taxes to a government that doesn't obey the Constitution?
Or that's run by banks that exempt themselves. That's really exactly waking people up that all these mega banks pay almost zero tax.
Yeah. They want all the little people to pay taxes and the big operators. Why doesn't the Federal Reserve pay taxes? It's a private company. Why don't they pay taxes? Probably make more money than anybody. But
well, you know, it's come out. I've even seen in the Washington Post some years, they do a study, upwards of half of Congress doesn't pay taxes and nobody prosecutes them.
Yeah, if you're in the, and they can get away with it, undoubtedly, not simply because they have power, but because when they do get away with it, now there's leverage to come after them, and now they're on a leash. You don't have to pay taxes, but you better vote the way you have to vote. All right, we'll tell you how to vote. You get away with not paying taxes, but if you step out of line, we're going to throw your butt in the slammer.
It's the old corruption, how they try to get you into the corruption.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, no, I'm just making sure the listeners do. Alfred, I've got to get you on more often. We've got a long segment coming up and a couple more after that. Then we've got a surprise guest in studio scheduled. But when we come back from break here in an 18-minute segment, I want to get into some of the outrages of these crooks and why you say they're illegitimate. Let's start rolling now. I mean, start.
Okay, you want me to start talking now? Okay.
What woke you up just briefly before we got a break?
Oh, I went through a divorce in 1983. I was as fat, dumb, and happy as anybody else, and I went through a divorce, suffered injustice. One thing led to another, and I became a student of the legal system, and that's what really precipitated this and got this going. I never quit, you know, and just keep on and you keep on. I made a comment on the 60 Minutes program that it's un-American to trust the government. A lot of people would find that remarkable.
No, that's true. Stay there. We're going to come back with that. We're going to come back right there. Stay there. We're going to have the floor when we come back. Definitely have this guy back. I've listened to him on the radio off and on for years. Always meant to get him on, and we've got him on now. Alfred Adask. It's adask.wordpress.com, adask.wordpress.com. Our sites, of course, are infowars.com and prisonplanet.tv. We'll be right back with Alfred. Stay with us.
On the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Cultures go through cycles, and we are in a very deep cycle of decadence and corruption, mixed with nuclear weapons, bioweapons, high-tech surveillance, television brainwashing. We're all living an experiment here. And as we went to break, Alfred Adask was making the point that his maxim is, it is American to not trust your government. Well, that is as American as apple pie, but that's alien to some new listeners. That shows how domesticated many of us have become. Alfred, please continue repeating what you said. You have the floor.
You look at, I mean, the genius of the American Constitution, and there's things to complain about it and maybe some flaws, but as originally drafted, the genius is that it's an anti-government document. The reason we have separation of powers is so the three branches of governments fight amongst each other and don't fight with us. The reason we have the right to keep and bear arms is to protect us against the government. The reason for freedom of speech and freedom of the press is not so we can read gossip about what they're doing on the New Housewives of New York or some damn thing. It's about telling people what someone saw in the government. Somebody saw something, the government's doing something wrong. Talk about it. It's intended, every bit of that. The reason we have elections every 2 years. If we really trusted the government, why don't we just elect these guys one time and they stay there until they die? It's because we give them 2 years at the max, at least at Congress. And you better watch your step or we'll throw you out. every bit of that Congress, every bit of the Constitution was designed to protect us from government. They recognized it's a necessary evil, but they did not trust the government. Let me read a section here from the, there's a preamble to the Bill of Rights. And it explains the purpose of the Bill of Rights. And you can look this up on the internet. It's not usually published, but you can find it. You can go to the internet and just enter preamble to the Bill of Rights, and you'll get this. And it's only, I don't know, 50, 100 words, something like that. It says, resolved by the Senate. It says, the conventions of a number of states having at the time they're adopting a constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction abuse of its powers, meaning the powers of the Constitution, that further restrictive and declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. Those declaratory and restrictive clauses are the first 10 amendments. Their purpose is to prevent abuse of the Constitution. Who could abuse the Constitution except federal officers, officials, and employees? The only people who can abuse the powers of the Constitution are the people who have them to exercise. And that tells us that the purpose of the first 10 amendments was to protect the people of the states against the federal government. They didn't trust the government as far as they could throw it. They said, we got to have one, but we don't trust the SOBs. And what's the reason for the Second Amendment? To protect us against the federal government. It says so by implication right there in the preamble to the preamble to the Bill of Rights. And it's what I tried to talk about on that 60 Minutes interview. And they brought me in because I said, oh, the purpose of the Second Amendment is to shoot people in the government. And I said, yeah, and here's why. But it's not intended to be a license just to go out and start shooting cops and judges and whatever. It is the means of protecting yourself from despotism. If and when the government becomes despotic and tyrannical, it's like it says in the Declaration of Independence, it's your right, it's your duty to throw off that government. The Second Amendment is the means to throw off that government. If the government becomes despotic, Second Amendment kicks in. It doesn't mean you go shoot every cop you can find. That's never been my point. But the point is, if they are despotic, Second Amendment.
And like it or not, I was sent the internal FEMA footage from Kansas City in 2000, where FEMA gets up in front of cops and firemen and teaches them the Founding Fathers were terrorists, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence is an evil document. They are openly saying in some of these federal documents we've gotten that those that make frequent references to the U.S. Constitution, well, the cops have sworn an oath to that. And now we have the Indiana Supreme Court. I don't know if you saw that ruling, but the lead judge said cops can come in for any reason or no reason at all. There is no Fourth Amendment. This is open despotism. This is open evil. And the police more and more are caught just pulling people over, stealing cash out of their wallets. You heard me run through that raft earlier. And now on the TSA website, Blogger Bob, the official voice of them, says that Texas, it doesn't matter what you say, we have Article 6, Clause 2, prevent states from regulating the federal government. I mean, that is on its head, claiming that the Commerce Clause, the Supremacy Clause, gives them all this power only in the issuance of currency, only in the Navy, and only in protecting the borders. I mean, why even have states if they're so busy? I mean, look at till 1913, the state legislatures voted and picked the U.S. senators. That shows the power of the states. They ran the Senate. They ran the veto. And now they're telling us states have no power. We will stick our hands down your pants, and we don't care if the state of Texas unanimously votes, in one of the houses to say, don't stick your hands down people's pants. Well, that's already illegal. And the feds laugh and giggle on a blog about it.
Well, there's reason to believe that what passes for state government right now may not be state government.
Yeah, 1933 war powers. Yeah.
It may be a territorial government, and under Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 of the Federal Constitution, the Congress has exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the territories. I strongly suspect, I can't prove it, but I strongly suspect that what passes for Texas today, they presume it to be a territory rather than a state of the Union. Part of the reason for that, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, says in part, no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Now, how does the government of the state of Texas function without gold and silver? The Constitution has never been amended to eliminate that clause. And it doesn't apply to territories, and it doesn't apply to federal government.
It's a territorial script.
Yeah, that's right. And they have, by taking the gold and silver out of circulation, I think what they've done is they've rendered the de jure government of the State of the Union, I think they've rendered them insolvent and unfunctional.
Well, no, what you said is true.
They've replaced them with some sort of a territorial setup.
No, they created the state police in 1933 under federal auspices. They went and financed it. Basically, as part of the federal receivership, and they took territorial law that had already been perfected out west and exported it as the federal model. It's not just your theory. I've read in the federal rulings where they talk about force majeure, force de jure, admiralty law. This is how they're operating. It's how the cops seize cash out of your wallet when no drugs or no arrest is made. They're operating under the federal mandates. As state police, as part of their agreements with the feds to get 80% receivership back of the money if they go through the feds and not the state, they're operating under admiralty.
Yeah, the world
we'll continue.
Let me give you, here is a cause dear to my heart. I was sued by the Attorney General of the state of Texas for $25,000 a day. That's $9 million a year for the manufacture and distribution of a controlled substance. It's not cocaine or methamphetamine or any of that. I was fiduciary for a trust that leased some equipment, just tables and chairs, to a corporation that was manufacturing colloidal silver. All right? They brought me in as the last of seven defendants. The case started in 2001, lasted until 2007. I was the last one added. First three defendants hired attorneys. They paid them $160,000 for defense. All they did is drive them into bankruptcy. First three defendants went into bankruptcy. Two of them, husband and wife, divorced, split, they're gone. I got involved in this and read the relevant drug laws because that's what we're charged under. And under the Texas Health and Safety Code, section 431.002, subparagraph 14, it says drug means, articles recognized in the official United States Pharmacopoeia, yada, 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 articles intended or designed for use in the diagnosis, cure, mitigation, treatment, or prevention of disease in man or other animals. And the first time I saw man or other animals, I thought, why, the damn fools, they don't even know what they're writing. The phrase means they presume man to be an animal.
No, that's an inside joke by them. But let me expand on that. They put last year in the Food Safety Act, written by Big Pharma, they gave $17 million in just a one-week period, written by Big Pharma and Big Agribusiness to shut down local farms and ranches. Codex Alimentarius, that entire European Union, EU Act, would be implemented, and luckily it's been defeated so far. But Europe has now implemented, and you can pull up the headlines, hundreds of herbal remedies, vitamins banned from over-the-counter sale. And so, yes, they are saying that under this, they've had SWAT teams raid aloe vera farms.
That's exactly right.
These people are mafia. It's very simple.
We found it in 23 separate laws at the state and federal level that applied directly to our case. I realized the significance. You can't declare me to be an animal because my Bible says at Genesis 1, 26 through 28, on the sixth day, God created man in his image and gave man dominion over the animals. As a Christian or a Jew and probably even as a Muslim, the government can't declare us to be animals without violating our freedom of religion. I made a religious freedom defense. I created a religious freedom defense to this case that the attorney general had spent almost $500,000 on in 6 years. And I drafted a religious freedom defense to this, and I said, you can't call me an animal. Your law doesn't apply to me. And they dropped the case.
Let me stop you. Feds win 98% of the time now because they have special kept juries. How did Alfred Adask defeat these demons?
Well, we advance because here's the point. This law, this definition that defines man to be an animal, and the drug law, it's also found in the definition of medical devices. It means, just thinking about drugs, the war on drugs is based on the presumption that the people are animals. The war on drugs gave rise, started by Nixon in 1971, gave rise to most of the modern police state.
And what do they say in The Godfather, which is a globalist love it because everything's a message. The mafia is sitting around and they go, we're going to start bringing narcotics in. Don Corleone hadn't let us do this. And Don Corleone says, I'll lose all my judges and police. They'll deal with hookers and alcohol because they like that, but they don't like heroin and cocaine. Yeah. And the mob boss says, only have it in the colored areas. They're animals. Let them lose their souls. And when you get into globalist doctrine, they believe we're all animals and dumb.
That's exactly right.
It's social Darwinism. We deserve this. So they're saying, and you mentioned this is in federal states. I've seen it as well. Read it again. We are animals, they're saying.
Man or other animals. We found 23 separate instances that applied to our case. Laws at both the Texas level and federal level. We found it in five other states where we looked. I presume it to be true in all 50 states, or at least the vast majority of them. Last night, I got an email from someone in Australia who's been visiting the website, and he's seen the articles I have on man or other animals, and he's looked at the Australian law. The Australian drug law also defines the people to be animals, which tells me that this business of presuming the people to be animals is not confined to the United States.
No, it's not. It's a legal fiction that they've created that they then run everything through, then we through contract fraud. Explain that to people. We sign on. We now agree as indentured servants. A lot of my family came here as slaves, white slaves. They were indentured servants, 7-year, 14-year deals, whatever they signed on to. You come here, and then they make you buy everything through the contract from the company store. They have a strong man that keeps you under their control. You never basically get off the plantation. In fact, many historians broke down that white slaves or indentured servants were worse off than blacks because the small 2% that owned slaves that were black wanted to take care of their property. But white slaves were even worse than that.
I understand. This issue is powerful because, for example, our Declaration of Independence, principles this country is built on. Second sentence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those rights only attach to men and women made in God's image. They don't attach to animals. Third sentence of the Declaration says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government. When they say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, they're telling us that in the vision of the founding fathers, the principal reason for government was to secure to every man, woman, and even unborn child those God-given unalienable rights which attach at the moment of your creation, not your birth. Under the Declaration of Independence principles, if you're recognized to be a man, a woman, or even an unborn child made in God's image, they can't abort you. You become the master. If you are endowed by God, that's the foundation for sovereignty.
That's why they changed. That's why they changed the definition to fetus. That's why Frank Herbert's book, that's globalist philosophy, is that the secret cult group then puts you through a ritual to decide if you're a human. They see everyone else as animals. That's what Albert Pike wrote, that most people are animals, steak on the table to be eaten. This is really Illuminati philosophy.
Absolutely. And this is important, powerful stuff. Again, if this goes out and people understand it, the reason they dropped this is it's political dynamite. The police state is built in large measure on the drug laws. The drug laws are built on the presumption that the people are animals. They can't stand in front of a jury and tell them, we think you're all a bunch of animals. They can't tell them that. If you can draft a religious freedom defense against these people, they have to back off. Because if this goes public and you get a case like this that goes all the way to the Supreme Court and they have to admit that the people aren't animals, well, they lose the war on drugs. They lose much of the police state. They lose the prison industrial complex. All right. And of course, big pharmaceuticals are built on this.
By the way,
this
Alfred,
is a
what you've
huge
said
story.
Earlier, I interrupted. Go back to the fact that us not being animals made in the image of a creator, people don't believe in that or not. The point is, that's the law system. That's the precedent, is that we're made in the image of God. We are the sovereigns on this planet. And so the elite can't be above us. We have inalienable, basic, organic, galactic rights.
Well, that's exactly right. See, what people don't understand about sovereignty, the reason the king of France was sovereign was because he alone had the divine right of kings. He became king in a church ceremony. He got his rights directly from God.
Coronated.
All the rest were subjects because they did not get their rights directly from God. In our country, when it started out, it started with an incredible, a profound concept. They said, no, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men, not just the kings, the individual kings of England and France and Spain and so on, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. With that statement, they made each of us an individual sovereign. It's borne out in Chisholm versus Georgia, 1793, Supreme Court of the United States declared this is to be a nation of sovereigns without subjects.
Well, this is the fight.
God. That makes the government our servant. If you and I are sovereigns, the government is our public servant. If you and I are animals, the government is our master.
And notice they don't use terms like public servant or peace officer. It's law enforcement. It's official. It's authority. This is just nothing but modern slavery where they are above the law. They don't pay taxes. They do whatever they want and don't follow our original just laws. And then they make unjust laws for us. This is the essence of tyranny.
They say we have to obey their law, but they don't have to obey our law. And again, the hierarchy is God's law, number one. We, the people, our law, number two. And that's the constitutions of the states and the federal government. And finally, we have the government's law. That's number three. They say we're always subject to that, but they don't want to be subject to the people's law. This is this is cause for a shooting revolution if they're not careful. If this goes badly, we're going to have an American spring rather than an Arab spring.
Alfred Adass, let's talk about that when we come back. Power. There must be some kind of way out of here. I'm going to have to get Alfred Adass back on very soon. I've heard his show off and on over the years. Read Annie Shyster. Even one time, I wrote an article got published in it. I can't remember. The point is that he's been around for a long time fighting tyranny. We got him for 5 minutes in the next hour. Then our surprise guest is going to be here any moment now with some very good news for everybody. So stay with us for that into the fourth hour of Overdrive. If your local AM or FM doesn't carry it, Infowars.com. First, I want to tell you about National Inflation Association. For two-thirds of Americans getting ready to retire, Social Security will be more than 50% of their income. And for 22% of upcoming retirees, Social Security will be their only income. With massive inflation wipes out the purchasing power of American Social Security payments, retirement in America will become a thing of the past. And we will see millions of retired senior citizens re-enter the workforce, combined with the millions of government workers who will soon need to find new jobs when the dollar becomes worthless and the government goes bust. It will be nearly impossible for upcoming college graduates to find a job in the U.S. Go to inflation.us and click on the videos tab to see the breakthrough documentary film, The College Conspiracy. Again, that's inflation.us to watch the film today. Now, continuing with Alfred Adask. Alfred, we are at a crossroads. The quickening's here. The system is trying to break our will. And we've seen police chiefs in New Jersey and Maryland say, in public statements, get out there, break their will, wear black masks, scare them. You know, Fox News headline, police chief admits they want to scare us. The TSA, first take your shoes off, answer questions. Now we're going to squeeze your genitals on the outside. Now we're going to go inside. We're not going to change our gloves. I mean, they know that if they can get away with that, they're desperately trying to break our will and train us to basically be prisoners.
I agree. They're trying to, and that's exactly the point then is you can't allow that to happen. The most important thing is you can't succumb to fear. They're trying to scare us, but here's the truth. The police are outnumbered about 300 to 1 in this country. It's only about 0.3% of the population that are police officers. Same thing with the military, about 0.3% of the population thereabouts. I mean, even if they brought all the military back and they combined them with all the police, they're still technically outnumbered by at least 100 to 1 on the basis of adults.
And what's happening is they're running around trying to get everybody to be spies for them. Spies, we're not hiding. We know who the crooks are. And the average cops that I talk to are waking up. The military's waking up.
Sure. You know, and on one level, this is not an us against them, meaning us against the police. The police are standing on the breach on this thing, and they need to make up their mind, who do they serve and protect? They've got that motto, we serve and protect. But do they serve and protect the government, or do they serve and protect the people of the United States? They'd better understand that the government regards them as nothing but disposable cattle.
Kissinger wrote a book and called our troops dumb animals.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And they will dispose of them fighting with us. The police really have a lot more in common with the people than they do with their employer. And certainly they can't afford to go to war with the people. You can't pick a war where you're outnumbered 100-1. You can't do that. You're not going to win this. And I don't care what kind of weapons you got, you can't do it. 100-1, bring your best weapon, we'll bring our bricks. You understand? Here comes 100 bricks coming at you.
Well, yeah, I've seen that with Vietnam, Afghanistan, anywhere. And the biggest contributors of the military in 2008 were the military to Ron Paul. But at the same time, the system does need to know they're in the wrong. We need to quit licking their boots and being afraid to call them out, because the police everywhere are violating the Bill of Rights and Constitution. They are enforcing stuff that isn't law.
I agree. And it's part of the reason why the object is not simply to go out and get yourself a firearm or a dozen firearms and a bunch of bullets. You have to understand the reasons for a rational application of force. You've got to pick up and understand the fundamentals out of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Say, wait a second. These are principles. We're not talking about just picking up a gun and shooting out the window.
Stay there.
You must have reason.
That's what Indiana just said. We can do whatever we want to you. You can't resist.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the next hour, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, best-selling author, is our guest. The new book, New York Times best-selling author Jesse Ventura with Dick Russell, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read, available at Infowars.com. We've got a deal where you can get one of the films free when you get the book with Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. Now, Governor, it's great to have you back. You're down in Mexico right now, but we've got you for the full hour. Some stations don't carry this first 5 minutes, so I want to cover some sub-issues before we come back and get your take on the entire Bin Laden fable. They're telling us that we've got to give up even more rights now that Bin Laden's been reportedly killed. They're announcing the government's going to have alerts over our cell phones. They're going to have a no-travel list now. For trains, you name it. We're going to talk about all that with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. But getting into the no travel thing first. So we thought we'd escape the TSA by not flying on commercial jets. But now they're announcing, Governor, that they want to have these on the roads, the highways, the trains. They've been beta testing those. What's your view on that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all because, Alex, you know, I drive to and from Mexico every year. And after clearing customs at the border, and it doesn't matter what border, whether it's California or Arizona, when you clear customs, you get about an hour under the freeway in the United States of America. And this has been going on for the last 6 years, because that's how long I've been living in Mexico and Minnesota. You come to an immigration stop out in the middle of the highway where you have to sit out there in the hot desert for an hour and a half and clear a second immigration stop. So it doesn't surprise me, because these stops have been going along, and they're illegal, in my opinion, because you've already shown your passport at the border. Why are you required to produce it again an hour into the United States? So, you know, this is stuff that they've been setting up that I've been watching for 6 years now in my travels via Mexico back to the U.S. every year.
They're just expanding the control. Well, let's say they want to protect us from terrorists. Terrorists, they get a leak, might want to attack a mall. Are they going to put TSA in front of every mall? Well, they're now announcing they want that. Are they going to, there's close to 200,000 miles of rails, over 2.5 million miles of roads. I mean, it's impossible to protect all this. It's a joke.
Alex, are they expecting, an attack? Is that what they're saying? I mean, I've been down in Mexico. Are they priming us that we're going to get hit again, and so they want to be preemptive, and that's what they're telling us?
Yes, they've just so happened been training for years with real checkpoints at bus stations and train terminals, but now they're rolling it out saying Al-Qaeda, it's inevitable they're going to hit in a revenge for Bin Laden. We're talking about after the break. And so you got to give all your rights up now, and we've got to basically have TSA-trained federalized police through the threat fusion centers just sticking their hands down our pants everywhere.
Well, you know, it's like the old forefather. I can't remember if it was Ben Franklin or which one of them said it when they made the great statement that if you're going to trade your liberty for security, well, then you have neither. And it seems that that's what our country is willing to do now, that we're willing to trade our liberty to be secure. I mean, Alex, I go crazy right now. I mean, I have to sue to prove that Jesse Ventura is not a threat just so I can fly commercially. I mean, what kind of nonsense is going on in this country?
It's amazing. And the more liberty we give up, now they say the terror threat 10 years later is even worse. We need more of your rights. They spend trillions of dollars in the last 10 years in the domestic system. There's close to a million domestic private contractor spies. This is big business. And the truth is, it's not going anywhere just like the prison industry until we say no. That's why they made drugs illegal, so they could have a black market, bring them in, and arrest their competition. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. The book is 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. He'll be with us for the next 55 minutes. We're going to get into the whole Bin Laden fable and get his take on it straight ahead. First day he's doing interviews. We're honored to have him.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, the 10th day of May, 2011. Joining us from the Baja in California is former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura's new book, climbing up the New York Times bestseller list, Jesse Ventura, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, available at Infowars.com. Governor Ventura, out of the gates. We're now 9 days into the killing of Bin Laden. We were told 8 separate times he'd been killed. We have those articles up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. They told us buried at sea. They won't show us the photo because, quote, conspiracy theorists, the president said on 60 Minutes, wouldn't believe it. That means people that have been lied to so much, they don't believe anything. And I know talking to you privately, that was your point. But, Governor, looking at this situation and the way they've changed the story so many times, what's your take and view on this, Governor Ventura?
It's hard to have a take and view on it for me, Alex, because as you said, I'm down here in the Baja and I get wind of stuff 48 hours or 3 days after it happens, so you guys know certainly more than I do. And, you know, I've been asked, people have said to me, well, could we have taken him alive and da-da-da. I said, I can't make any statement on that because you'd have to be there, you'd have to be part of the operation. If the Navy SEALs indeed did kill Bin Laden, well, they're the best unit at doing that because that's their expertise, and they could accomplish that mission if the mission were indeed true. Do I think it's true or not? I don't know, because my government has lied to me so often. I mean, look at when they lied about the death of Pat Tillman. They lied about the Jessica Lynch recovery. They lied about weapons of mass destruction. They lied about ties to Al-Qaeda in Iraq. So really, the government has no credibility with me, so when I hear a story that they accomplished this, and then there's so many other weird things about it, like they buried him at sea 24 hours later. Well, why? And then they said it was Muslim religion. I might be wrong, but I think, isn't that Jewish where you have to bury within 24 hours? I'm not an expert on religions, but I'm not sure that that's part of the Muslim religion or not.
No, the imams have come out and said that you need to be buried after you've been washed facing Mecca, and that burial at sea is a big no-no.
Well, okay, then there you got it. So why did they bury him at sea? I guess because the Navy caught him. That's the only thing I could come up with. But no, you know, they won't show us photos. They're just telling us he's dead, and I guess it's worked so many times before, Alex. Why wouldn't it work again?
Well, you bring up the point of lies. It came out last Wednesday that White House did not watch the live killing. Then they said he fought back and the SEALs had to kill him. Then they said he didn't fight back and that they took him out and then killed him. Then they said he used his wife as a human shield. Then they said that didn't happen. And then they won't show us the body. I mean, this is very, very, very bizarre. Well, but
I can tell you this, Alex. As far as operational end on the ground, being the knuckle draggers, the SEALs that did the op, it shows me that policy hasn't changed at all since Vietnam. Because in Vietnam, our standard policy, if we were going to do a kidnapping or going to do something of this order, would be you offer the person one time. And if the person doesn't fully cooperate, you then take them out. You eliminate them. And it's that quick. So whoever the operator, if it indeed happened, as they said it went down, whoever the operational leader on the ground was, I fully could see why he would be taken out that quickly, because that's no different than what it was in Vietnam, that you give one opportunity, and if they so choose to not exercise that opportunity, then you eliminate them.
Well, what's amazing is they showed this White House Situation Room and said that they were watching bin Laden being killed. And then they said, actually, the video cut out for 24 minutes and they didn't watch it. And they lied about that. And then Jessica Lynch, for 3 days, she's there at the hospital. The Iraqis have pulled out. The doctors go and say, please come here and get her. Jerry Bruckheimer gets on satellite feed. The director scripts how to do this staged rescue. Turns out she didn't fight in the convoy. The other guys did. And then magically, those guys all died in a week, getting shot in the head or drowning or running off the road. With Pat Tillman, he writes letters home saying, I'm coming home to be anti-war. He gets shot 3 times in the head at close range. They claim that he was killed by Al-Qaeda till the Army coroner report came out saying foul play was shown. I mean, you're at the Gulf of Tonkin. The list goes on and on. So bottom line, I mean, this looks like an election ploy stunt, and I don't believe a word of it. What's your view?
Well, again, I don't know. I got to delve into it. I got to start reading on it when I get back to the States, and I'll make a few phone calls with people that I know and see what I can tap on behind the scenes. You know, I'm still a bit connected to the SEAL units, and I can't believe that they would knowingly participate in a fraud. But then again, I guess if you're ordered to do something, you have to do what you're ordered to do. But I can't see a SEAL platoon actively participating in a fraud unless they pulled a fraud on them too. And maybe they had some guy there that looked like bin Laden and did him in. I don't know.
Well, that's exactly how they operate. That's exactly. They have decoys, people that are set up. And now they release this video of the 5 videos. 4 of them were previously released videos. We've gone and shown the exact same video was released, one of them 4 years ago. But they cut the audio out so it wouldn't be too obvious. And the one video that's new is an old guy from the side whose ears don't even look like bin Laden, supposedly watching bin Laden on TV.
Yeah, I did see that photograph last night, and I kind of chuckled at it, and I thought, that's him? And then I thought to myself, well, then what they really did was just shot an old man in his bed, right? Was sitting there with his wives? I don't know. Again, I can't comment on what happened on the ground because I'm not privy to anything that went down with the actual platoon over there. But they could do it, and they could certainly accomplish it if it was real. Whether it's real or not, Alex, I have no way of knowing.
But you're saying that you do question the official story because you've been lied to so much.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, for the last decade, it's been nothing but lies, whether it's the Bush administration or the Obama administration. It's lie after lie. Like I said, we're to the point now, Alex, I have to go to court to be able to fly in my own country. What kind of country is that when you got to go to court to be able to fly and not be searched? You have to prove you're innocent every time you go to an airport.
It's amazing. They've now announced today, and this was actually set up months ago, the new alert system was really integrated in years ago. They're going to be breaking in on smartphones, cell phones, computers, radio, TV, with government alerts, messages from the president forcing you to watch them. 9,000 locations, 800 Walmarts, malls are getting telescreens saying nobody's safe, watch your neighbor, trust no one but government. I mean, is that not 1984, Governor?
I don't know. Why are they doing that, Alex? What are we supposed to do? We're all supposed to go to Walmart and watch them on TV when they come on?
Well, it's about them forcing their way into our lives. Chuckie Schumer and now Amtrak looks like they're going to agree, as well as other terminals around the country, to have TSA sticking their hands down our pants. Have you seen the new video of the six-year-old having them stick their hands on her pants, or the one-year-old baby with them pulling the diaper off?
No, I didn't see the one-year-old baby with the diaper, but I did see the young child. I was on with Lou Dobbs that particular day right before I left to go back to Mexico on the book tour. And, you know, Lou was irate over it, and he thanked me for bringing my lawsuit on behalf of millions of Americans, including himself, for standing up for this stuff. And but, you know, that's about all you can do. I mean, we just got to be vigilant, Alex, and not accept this as normal behavior in what's supposed to be a free country.
Well, how could TSA, if there were real terrorists, protect cornfields, rural areas, highways, hundreds of thousands of miles of train? They claim the Al-Qaeda documents that the boogeyman Bin Laden had, so they want to go up and derail trains. So how is searching everybody that gets on trains and putting them through a no-ride list, how is that going to stop Al-Qaeda? I mean, how are they going to stop anybody?
How many Al-Qaeda are there? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, are they trying to make us believe that there's like millions of them out there?
No, they claim there's less than 100 in Afghanistan, less than 100 in Pakistan, maybe 100.
Well, that means there's more Hell's Angels than there are Al-Qaeda, right?
Well, also, Jesse, let me ask you this question.
Right, Alex?
Absolutely.
There's more Hell's Angels than there are Al-Qaeda then.
Well, here's another question. If they say he didn't resist and that the SEALs got him and then executed him, why, if he's the greatest intelligence asset in the world, knows where all the Al-Qaeda bodies are buried, knows the next attack, why execute Osama bin Laden? And they're telling us torture's great and torture's wonderful because it gets data. Well, then why not take bin Laden and torture him?
Exactly. Well, that's a question that would happen in the field, and I can understand the SEAL operative, because if it was the same as Vietnam, if you give them one opportunity, if they fail to do that, you eliminate them, pretty much. And that's unconventional warfare, and that's what the SEALs are about. It's not conventional warfare. And but I certainly would rather capture him. Absolutely. This guy would know everything, supposedly, about Al-Qaeda. Why wouldn't you attempt to capture him first so that you could gain knowledge from this guy to warrant off other attacks or whatever it might be? It seems stupid to just have plain executed him without trying to at first capture him. But again...
Well, Jesse, let me stop you.
I can't speak for the guys on the ground who actually did the op. I don't know.
Sure, but my point is, sir, they changed the story. First, they said he resisted, fired at them, that the helicopter got hurt by being fired at. Then they changed that. Then he used his wife as a shield. Then they said no. Now they say he didn't resist. They took him and executed him. They had him. They executed him. And the word is, if you believe he was killed, he had knowledge of being CIA in the 80s and 90s. Clinton had a chance to get him in 96 in Sudan, and they didn't want that out, so they were ordered to kill him. Then Obama said, no, we didn't order him to be killed. So the point is, we're being lied to. They've changed the stories. We'll be right back with Governor Jesse Ventura with more.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Governor Ventura and I were just talking during the break, and he was having time to really cogitate on the whole bin Laden situation. He takes off part of the year and goes down and writes books and researches down in the Baja, Mexico, and surfs. But he was going, didn't Benazir Bhutto, the president of Pakistan, come out and say he'd been killed? And then she got killed a week later, at execution style. And Pakistani intelligence former head told me here it was Cheney had her killed. And wasn't it in 2003 in the election, we had Madeleine Albright come out and say he was dead and that Bush was thinking about rolling him out. Then Walter Cronkite did it. Then Teresa Hines Carey did it. And so Bush backed off. I had Steve Pachinik, the guy that co-wrote the books with the very famous writer Tom Clancy. He was the head of Black Op Operations, worked with the SEALs in psychological warfare, the Delta Force. He told me in April 2002, Governor, that he died of kidney failure and they were going to roll him out later, claiming that we'd killed him. So with all those high-powered people saying that and then them changing the story so much, what does your gut tell you? I mean, you said...
Well, it causes me concern over the fact that this guy supposedly was on a dialysis machine way back 10 years ago. How could he survive that long if he needed dialysis treatments all the time? I mean, I don't know too many people that are that overly active if they require dialysis treatment on a regular basis.
Well, he had several diseases that on average people die within 2 years. The longest lived are six. Total renal failure. That's why even CBS News reported he was at the American hospital in, quote, Dubai, being treated by American doctors. And even Dan Rather went and interviewed him. And this was just months before 9/11. I mean, he was near death then.
So I don't know. I don't know what to believe, Alex. It's that's the disturbing thing about being a United States citizen today, is the fact that you can't believe mainstream media, because mainstream media is totally bought and sold, and they're in bed with the government, and you know, that's their job now, is to simply report what the government wants us told. And in light of that fact, you have to learn everything on shows like yours and on the internet and all these other alternative places where you can attempt to get through them and learn the truth. But again, everyone's susceptible to being misled, no matter where it is, be it the internet or where else. So it really boggles the mind on trying to figure it out. That's why I don't like to make rash decisions on it. I like to look at the thing, take my time, and do my own studying rather than just simply reacting to what media says to me.
Well, we're going to get a headline out at InfoWars.com. My writer was just in here during the break, trying to get an answer from me with what to go with. Obviously, it's big news. Your opinion is highly valued out there by independents and people that love liberty. And I think the fair headline is Governor Jesse Ventura, or Jesse Ventura. I've been lied to so much. I question or I need more information. I mean, what should the headline be?
I've been lied to so much, I question everything the government tells me. It's that simple, Alex.
And you went on to question, they lied about Lynch and did a Jerry Bruckheimer production.
They lied about the murder of Pat Tillman, which is unconscionable when they tried to turn that into a political staged deal to support their war and political position. Unbelievable. They've lied so often about so many things.
WMDs.
I don't know what to believe.
WMDs, fake documents on that. It turned out they ordered, the U.S. did, ordered England in the White House memo to fix intelligence along with us that we were going to go ahead and go to war.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've been getting lied to for the most of the last decade. It's unbelievable. So the simple thing is, I don't know what to believe. Because my government lies to me, they have no credibility with me.
Let me expand on that. We're about to go to break with a long segment coming up. But the New York Post on May 7th ran a headline, "The Truth Hurts." And they said that Governor Jesse Ventura has since reversed his position that he believed Bin Laden was dead. Well, you were just going off what even mainline news was saying, that it was believed he was dead. And they said he since reversed his position. I then searched, and I knew you were in Mexico. There was no news on you in over a month since you'd been in Mexico. And I looked for you doing a reversal on Bin Laden. You never did it. So here they are, correct me if I'm wrong, saying you reversed yourself when you never did it.
No, I've never met him. Alex, this is the first day I've done an interview since my book tour, and you were on my book tour. That's what, 3-4 weeks ago?
Time Magazine's out saying that I've reversed myself now that they've released these videos, which a bunch of them are old, already released. It says, well, Jones now has to basically admit he's wrong. I did not do that. I'm right. I know it's totally fake. I predicted all this years ago, but that's what they do. They think their readers are a bunch of idiots, and that's why the mainstream media is dying. Governor Jesse Ventura. Folks, this book is really waking a lot of folks up. Available at InfoWars.com. The book is doing extremely well. That's why he's back. We'll talk about the huge success of 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read with Governor Jesse Ventura on the other side. Stay with. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live with former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. I'm Alex Jones, and the website is weaintgottimetobleed.com. Weaintgottimetobleed.com. Our sites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Again, I'm here reading from CBSNews.com, where they admit that the White House issued a photo of them in the Situation Room watching the operation. Now it turns out they have to admit they watched nothing. The whole thing was a staged fake. But you can look at the photo with Hillary with her hand over her mouth, Obama all looking tough. They clearly scripted this entire thing. And, Governor, just going over more of the lies we've been told. I mean, government is constantly being caught in lies, and I think it's common sense to question.
You know what bothers me? Here's what troubles me, Alex, about lying, is that when we lie to them, we go to jail. It's that simple. I mean, look at right now in baseball. You got Barry Bonds. He might go to jail. You got Roger Clemens. He might go to jail. And, of course, Martha Stewart did go to jail. And she didn't go for insider trading. She went to jail for lying to the government. So that's one thing that really disturbs me. The government can lie to us, and there's no repercussions to them. They do it all the time. And yet when we lie to them, we face jail time.
Or when they say we lie. I mean, these new federal laws they've had the last decade have put hundreds of thousands of people in prison where you've actually done nothing wrong, but then they claim that you lied on your finances and they find $10 more or $10 less than you said, and they go, technically, you lied. It doesn't matter that it's really a mistake. You go to prison.
Well, you know, like I said, you got the high-profile cases like baseball, and I always question and go, what does steroid use in baseball have to do with the government? Nothing. You know, and it's that whole premise that if we lie to them, we go to jail, and yet it seems every politician in this country, lying must be the major course they take in college. I don't know. I didn't go to college, Alex. Do they have a course on lying?
Well, what they've done is they've tried to break our will and just train us to accept total corruption. I want to shift gears into another facet of this whole bin Laden hoax that's being used to roll out even more tyranny. They're now saying you've got to give up even more rights. Al-Qaeda attacks are imminent. They're going to attack everything. They've got 160 buried nukes. KSM, who they've been torturing for, 6 years now, who confessed to bombing buildings that were built after he was kidnapped or given rendition. KSM, 2 weeks before 9/11, they release a statement claiming KSM said there are buried nukes in Europe and the U.S., and bin Laden will detonate them. He has orders to detonate them if he is killed. Now, the Associated Press, in fact, let's pull that up on screen, KSM, nukes buried in America. The mainstream media is reporting nukes buried in Europe and America from KSM. Bin Laden knows where they're buried. The Navy SEALs are ordered not to kill him. That's now the official story. But then they do kill him as if they wouldn't follow their orders. And Dick Cheney comes out and says, Obama should reinstate waterboarding. He told Fox Sunday. He told Chris Wallace that on Fox. Former Vice President Dick Cheney said Sunday that President Barack Obama should be should put waterboarding back on the table. And then I want to shift to this article by Washington's blog. U.S. government used communist torture techniques specifically designed to produce false confessions. And then he has links to the Navy SEAL training and the Army training. And it says that they now have announced as of 2009, and that Senator Levin is commenting on the Senate Armed Services Committee report on torture, declassified today, drops the following bombshell, that the survival evasion resistance, this is when you said years ago, you know, you talk about how you've been waterboarded and it is torture, and that you'd be happy to waterboard Dick Cheney, that they're actually using the SERE techniques that SEALs and other special forces are put through in the basic training now of advanced troops in this survival evasion resistance. They're not teaching them how to take the torture. They're teaching them how to torture now. That was declassified last week. Governor, what do you say about Cheney pushing this and them now training the troops how to torture?
Well, like I said before, Dick Cheney should be a man of his word, and he should try it first before he recommends it. It's that simple. Dick Cheney needs to lie down and be waterboarded. And that way he'll know what he's talking about. Because right now, Dick Cheney speaks out of ignorance. He doesn't know what he's talking about because he's never had it done to him. So I think the first thing Dick Cheney should do is volunteer to have it done. I just read in today's paper that he's contemplating whether he needs a new heart or not. Well, if he gets waterboarded, he won't have to make that decision anymore.
What do you make of them taking this training that you talked about going through, survival evasion resistance?
The SEER school was required back when I was in the Navy. If you were going anywhere into a combat zone, they required you to pass, successfully complete SEER school, which was called survival, escape, resistance, and evasion. And now that's where you were essentially waterboarded. Everybody was. And you spent the 24 hours at a mock POW camp and all of this stuff because you never knew, I guess, if you were going to face that as a reality after you deployed. As far as teaching people how to do those techniques, I think that's very, very wrong, because if you're involved in a war, you're supposed to treat your enemy combatant with a certain amount of respect if they've surrendered to you. And I think that as a country, we should always be taking the high ground. And for Dick Cheney to come out and advocate torture again, well, that means he's putting us on the low ground again. Because then when somebody tortures us, or when somebody does something to us, we will have no recourse or no high ground position to take anymore. Because the fact is, we do it. So therefore, how can we be morally on high ground at all? And I beg to ask the question, here's a guy with 5 deferments from the military telling us what foreign policy we should have and how we should operate with enemy combatants or enemy soldiers or everything like that. A guy who he himself was a coward and got 5 deferments from the Vietnam War. How dare him? And how dare anybody even give this guy to bother to listen to him? Is that bold enough for you, Alex?
Yes, sir, it is bold. And expanding on that, Bush wrote a book last year admitting he ordered torture. He'd do it again. The Army's own report from Abu Ghraib admits small children were raped in front of their parents. That's NBC News. You want to pull up the full report. You got the will to read it, listeners. This is what the good guys supposedly do, but they're not even worried about moral high ground. When foreigners do torture, it's horrible, it's terrible, they're dastardly, they're evil, but then simultaneously it's good when we do it. They're trying to warp our minds, but here it is. It says, with last week's release of Department of Justice legal counsel opinions, it is now widely known that Bush administration officials distorted survival, evasion, resistance, and escape training, a legitimate program used by the military to train our troops to resist abusive enemy interrogations, by authorizing abusive techniques from the SERE SEERS training for use in detaining interrogations. So the point is, what was declassified last week is everybody getting SEERS training at special forces level now. It's not how to resist it, it's how to do it. They're building an army of torturers.
Well, then we should be hanging our head in shame, because that's not, I don't care what happens, that is not what the United States of America is supposed to be about, Alex. And like I said, if we lose all our moral high ground, then we certainly have lost the war on terror, because, you know, when our Constitution and our Bill of Rights don't exist anymore, well, that means the terrorists have won. But I think that happens internally. It doesn't happen from the terrorists. I think the terrorists are being used as an excuse.
Well, I think there's no doubt whoever the terrorists are, and we know it's black ops, private corporate criminal networks that are doing the lion's share of it, that the terrorists have won. And the government, the media are terrorizing us. What's your take, Governor, on we were told bin Laden's been killed after 9.5 years, and now they say we got to take more rights. The terror threat's greater. Well, then that means as they kill more, then it makes more of a threat. I mean, when does this end?
Well, I think here's the question I want to ask. Now that we've killed bin Laden, can't we bring all the troops home?
Yes.
Isn't it time for us to now pack up and come home? Isn't the war over? If this was indeed the man who masterminded 9/11, and we've now killed him, like they told us that they have on May 1st or whatever the date was, well, then shouldn't we be beginning immediate withdrawal from both Iraq and Afghanistan and bring all our men and women home?
Incredible. Incredible. Let me raise another point. Jim,
is that unreasonable?
No, it's not.
It seems to me now we won the war. Isn't this the ultimate thing, was to get the guy that allegedly did 9/11?
Well, now they're saying that...
Although, you know, I'll tell you something, Alex. We needed to capture bin Laden. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
We needed to find out how he achieved 9/11, because what happened on 9/11... I believe today it was not a controlled demolition, it was not nanothermite, and it certainly was not the pancake effect of two planes hitting a building. There was something else in play there, Alex. There was a weapon in play that day that I don't even know what it is, but I can equate it to being like a microwave. You know how you can take a piece of chicken and put it on a paper plate and stick it in the microwave and the chicken will burn but the paper plate won't?
Yes.
Well, something happened that day equivalent to a microwave. And by capturing bin Laden, maybe we could find out what weapon he truly has. Because I just learned there were 1,400 cars toasted that day all over the streets of Manhattan.
No, that's right. Cars that didn't have anything fall on them were completely fried, but expanding. Just like a secret helicopter reportedly crashed. We know they're 30 years advanced what they really have. But there's another area that if you look at it, British physicists and others, and it turns out the government did measure this, you can confirm it, radioactive isotopes used in small nukes were picked up in levels off the charts in and around the towers.
No, I don't buy that. I don't buy that.
Now, well,
nukes were not used.
Well, the radiation was picked up. Now,
I don't buy it, because when those towers went down, there was less impact than when they brought down the Superdome in Seattle. And there should have been way more. Those towers literally disintegrated. They went into dust. And nukes don't do that. Not at that level. Radiation would have been extremely high.
Well, I'll tell you, Tower 1 and 2 are very suspicious. But when you look at 7, that's a conventional controlled demolition.
No, it isn't. No, it was not either. Because you got to read the book, Where Did the Towers Go? By Dr. Judy Wood, BS, MS, and PhD.
No, I know who she is. I know who she is.
I just finished her book. It's very remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you that Tower 1 and 2 exploded into pyrotechnic dust, and things were being ejected long distances. But 7, you can see the boom, 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 and the symmetrical collapse into its own footprint.
Yeah, but you also see it lathering up a half hour soon, where smoke started coming out of one side of the building and one side of the building only. You had cases, the dust was everywhere with paper. Always remember, there's a simple thing. When metal when something is hot, it will glow. But it doesn't have to be hot to glow. But not everything that glows is hot.
Well, I know this. They do have a lot of...
It was a weapon used that day, Alex, but it's a weapon that's beyond anything that I know about.
Well, I'll tell you what I want to know. I want to know why they killed bin Laden. If he knew how to make NORAD stand down, he knew how to have aircraft do maneuvers that the best fighter pilots couldn't do at Flight 77 at the Pentagon.
We should have captured the guy. That should have been the highest priority. But again, I understand if it truly went down and the SEALs made the call on the ground, I understand why, because that's the same policy that we had for the last 40 years.
Now, here's my issue. Bin Laden couldn't carry out 9/11. We know the hijackers were ordered to be let into the U.S. via the U.S. Embassy in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We know the head of the Defense Language School went public and said Atta was trained there. Even, Newsweek admits, hijackers trained at U.S. bases. They were decoys. They were set up. And following the M.O. of these people, the SEALs probably thought if they did do this mission that they were killing bin Laden. And they had a lookalike in there who was playing part in some drill and then found out it was real. And the SEALs shot him and they threw him in the ocean and told the SEALs, good job, you killed bin Laden. That's exactly how the globalists operate. But again, that is theory. That is going through a theory. All I know is that the official story of 9/11 doesn't fit into a guy in a cave being able to carry it out. And regardless, Governor, they've used 9/11. We got the Homeland Security Mike reports 2 years ago. to go after the American people and to take our liberty. So it's been used. I mean, we know Saddam wasn't involved, and they tried to frame him for it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, again, America changed that fateful day, and it changed for the worse. And I just have a difficult time believing this bearded guy in a cave is responsible for all this. I just have a very hard time accepting that as being the truth.
You're right. I absolutely agree with you, and we need to continue to investigate. It's certainly been used to kill our republic, something foreign terrorists couldn't do. The government, no matter what administration is in, it energetically attacks the Bill of Rights.
By the way, look at these. They still don't admit that we did that show on my TV show, Alex. You know, the one on police state that they pulled after one episode.
That's right, and the network won't say anything. Governor, you told me privately what you think the future of the show is. Are you ready to tell folks more about the show getting censored with that particular episode?
Well, I'll talk about that episode. Of course, it was last year. We did the episode on the police state where we produced the Homeland Security bill that said FEMA was to build no less than 6 internment camps throughout the country. And when I inquired as to who was going in these and why these were being built, you know, we got stiff opposition in Washington, and of course they came down on the parent company of True TV, and they pulled the show. It only aired once, and now they won't even acknowledge that the show exists. And fortunately, you can see it because it aired that one time, so it's going to be out there on YouTube. But officially, it's not part of the show anymore. Of the 15 episodes we did, I guess there's only actually 14 now.
What about the future of conspiracy theory, which came out last season as the number one new show? Then they put it in the dead zone Friday night, still the number one new show for a second season. You know, record audience for those guys. And now you were telling me privately some things. Can you talk about that?
Well, just that, you know, the ball's in their court. Whether it'll be renewed or not, I can't say at this time. I don't know if it will or will not be. But they had us submit 8 new conspiracy theories to them. And so they will look them over and I guess make a determination of whether we're back on the air or not. But they haven't promoted us at all, so that's not a good sign.
Yeah, should folks try to contact True TV or Time Warner and tell them put that good informative...
I don't do that, Alex. If people want to do that, that's up to them. But, you know, I won't ask for people to do that at all. If people are inclined to want to do that, they certainly, you know, I encourage them that they certainly can, but I won't ask for that at all.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I know you told me on the road, well, I won't even get into it. It's not a lot of sweat off your back if they don't want to renew it. It's a lot of work. I mean, you guys fly all over the country, a lot of research.
Well, and that's another problem we have, Alex. What do I do about my flying situation now? Well, because I cannot fly commercial anymore.
That's right. They don't want to pay for the private jet. I know that's probably part of it. So there is Homeland Security ruining your TV show.
Yeah, very well could be because of the fact that I have the pending lawsuit, and therefore I cannot fly commercially, so I can't go out on location anymore unless they fly me in a private jet, and they certainly don't have the budget for that, I can assure you of that.
Well, just like the Jews in Nazi Germany, first they wouldn't let them travel, wouldn't let them do business. Now Homeland Security, headed up by Schumer and others, are saying... that you will be on a no-work list, no-travel list, starting with trains, aircraft, no-gun-buy list. White House is pushing that. Just a magic list that they just put you on, and they admit in the Washington Post, anti-war people, pro-gun, property rights people, Tea Party people are now being barred. Over 2 million on the list. The government just puts you on a list, and now soon it'll be...
Alex, how do you find out if you're on the list?
They won't tell you why you're on it. You just suddenly can't travel. That's Nazi Germany right there.
That's ridiculous. I mean, why can't you go and inquire whether you're on a list or not? I mean, it seems to me you should be able to do that.
Well, what do you think of them? Well, you might be a terrorist, Governor. What do you think about everybody's a terrorist, but the government crooks robbing us? It's now been confirmed, $27 trillion, as we broke down 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, $27 trillion just up until about a year and a half into the bailout. That the rest is secret. $27 trillion to foreign banks and people like MSNBC got Federal Reserve taxpayer money to push propaganda. Now we learn what's going on. But let's not worry about the bankers robbing us and the dollar plunging. Let's all worry about terrorists under the table, Governor.
Oh, not only terrorists under the table, but like these three gentlemen I ran into at the golf course the other day. They were more worried about that we got to stop these unions. You know, these union benefits that these state workers have. We got to get rid of that. I looked at these guys and said, oh, you want to bust them, but you don't want to do nothing about Wall Street, huh?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, look. They always talk about free market. Wall Street is the main piglet on the teat of the hog, and it's a piglet four or five times bigger than the mama hog, and the rest of the population is starving runt piglets with our bones showing, and Wall Street's sitting there bigger than mama, sucking everything out of in mama. Basically, it's a vampire pig sucking the blood out of mama.
I got a good idea, too, Alex. Let's stop benefits for elected officials.
Yes.
Let's truly make it public service. That if you go there to get elected, you do public service. You don't get your own retirement fund. You don't get your own medical health care. But you have to have the same health care that any other government employee has.
That's a good point. They make themselves exempt from the rules we're under and the system that they create for us. Just like you pointed out, government can lie all day and never gets in trouble. But if they claim we lie, we go to the gulag.
Yeah, we go to jail for it. No, absolutely. We should cut out all benefits for them, make them survive the same way we have to. You know, like right now, you know, they're going to revamp Social Security and all that. Well, isn't it interesting? They don't get Social Security.
Very well said. Governor, we're almost out of time. We have a deal at Infowars.com that when you get Jesse Ventura's 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read, incredible, hardcover, wake up anybody out there. It's only proven, admitted crimes and outrageous terrorist events and government drug dealing. It's an amazing book. And you get Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, discounted with it by Mark Dice. You can get any of my new films or films I've produced, whatever film you choose, DVD film, free when you get it with Governor Ventura's book along with Big Brother, or get either one of these books by themselves, all available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. The good news is, Governor, my radio show and websites are exponentially growing. Your book is way up there on the bestseller list week after week.
You know what's interesting about it, though, Alex? This is my second book way up on the bestseller list, and again, it hasn't been reviewed by any mainstream media to my knowledge.
Absolutely. The fix is in.
Yeah. No, I mean, they don't review my books at all. They ignore them completely. They completely ignore them. No matter how long they stay on the New York Times top 10.
But here's the difference. In the past, if they did that with a book, it would never even make it on the charts. Now the alternative media, the real media, is growing so fast, they're panicking. But here's the problem. This isn't an internet kill switch that Homeland Security set up. It's really an internet takeover system. And the government's admitting now they may start shutting down alternative media and that they're going to start broadcasting government announcements over all media breaking in. I mean, doesn't that sound like the Running Man?
Yeah, it sounds like it. And boy, we'll sure get the truth then, won't we, Alex? My goodness. It'll be just fountains of information and truth for us, as Steve Buscemi said in Fargo.
Oh, man. So much is happening. We only got about 2-3 minutes left with you, Governor. Of course, the website is weaintgottimetobleed.com. Get the book, 63 Docs, at Infowars.com. Support the Gov and his work. Support my work. But more importantly, get a tool that you can read yourself and pass on to others. This book is tailor-made to wake up people who are skeptics, because it's all government documents with the URLs of the government, so you can go check it out for yourself. And no wonder the system won't review this, because they're scared of it. The truth hurts the tyrants. When are you coming back to the U.S.? Because as fast as things are moving, we look forward to having you back on.
I'll probably be back in the U.S. Shortly after the Memorial weekend.
All right. So we look.
I'll be back then, because you know why I'm delaying my trip? Because we had so much snow in Minnesota that six of the greens at my golf course had to go temp.
Wow.
So, hell, I ain't got nothing to come back for, Alex, if there ain't golf.
You know, I'm going to take golf back up again just so I make myself not work all the time. Maybe sometime you come visit me again in Austin, we'll go play some golf.
Well, we could do that, but remember, Texas is the home of the Texas wedge. You know what that is, don't you?
Yes.
That's where you putt 30 yards off the green, because the ground's so hard you can't get a sand wedge down into it. It's like hitting concrete.
Oh, man.
I know that from playing Willie's course with him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey, listen, Gov, it was great having you on.
Alex, take care, and I'll be back up in the States within a month, and we'll talk then.
All right. We're going to break. Let me just say bye to you right here. I just want to commend you. Where exactly is the book on the bestseller? Last time I saw it was number 4 on Amazon.
Yeah, well, it was number 4 on the New York Times for like 3 or 4 weeks in a row now. It's been right at number 4, pretty solid, all the information.
Wow, amazing.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for this little short segment and the next, former Congressman Bob Barr, author, researcher, libertarian presidential candidate, BobBarr.org, LibertyGuard.org. He's been on the front lines exposing the expansion of the war on terror, the attack on our liberties, and the TSA and all of the horrible activities they're engaged in. Now, Congressman, I'm even seeing mainstream media say this is a federal unsworn police force doing things FBI can't even do. They have no statutory authority to stick the hands on the outside and touch the genitals or inside, as you know. Now a federal judge has said it's that you have a right to have TSA. They upside down put their hands down your pants at the school proms in Santa Fe. They're announcing the rollout on the highway, streets, roads. The infrastructure is being seized. What's your overall view of where this is going?
It's outrageous, and if Americans don't do what you and many of your listeners have been doing by setting the example, and that is to stand up and say not just no, but a hell no, then, the limitations on government and the protections for our privacy and our persons that are embodied in the Fourth Amendment will be essentially meaningless. It's just absolutely outrageous, not only what government and TSA in particular are doing, but what is most distressing is the number of Americans that sit back like damn sheep and accept this nonsense.
Well said.
Pardon my French.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, it's time to get angry. The Texas legislator voted in the House 138-0 unanimous to enforce the law and not let them grope women and children or men for that matter. And then the Republican leader of the Senate, the Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, and there are state senators on record in the Dallas Morning News, you name it, that he said, don't let anybody know I'm doing this. But with the Justice Department, he threatened and lobbied, and the Justice Department put a letter out publicly, Congressman, saying they would blockade and have a no-fly zone over Texas if they did not back off of this bill. What's your take on that?
Well, I used to think that that the slogan "Don't mess with Texas" actually meant something, but I'm beginning to wonder now. They back down on this. At least the Senate apparently did. It's ridiculous to let the government bully a state like this. A knife, no fly zone. The people can't fly in and out of Texas. Give me a break. I mean, how in heaven's name would they enforce something like that? Obviously, they couldn't. And if they tried, then Texas would stand up to it. They would. They would have security at the airports. That would be probably, perhaps, certainly as good as, if not probably better than what TSA provides.
Well, what does that say about the mindset of the Justice Department and Janet Napolitano at Homeland Security that they would have a U.S. attorney send a letter just arrogantly saying, we'll shut down your air traffic? I mean, this sounds like how the Civil War started.
It doesn't surprise me, and I doubt that it really surprises you, Alex, or your listeners. I mean, we've seen this federal bullying by Republicans and Democrats alike for many, many years now. And I was hopeful, until yesterday, I guess it was, that Texas would finally stand up to this nonsense. But now, obviously, they've at least backed down for the moment, unfortunately. hopefully, perhaps Congress. I mean, how is the Lone Star State's congressional delegation handling this? Are they going to fight for the freedom and the Fourth Amendment for at least Texans?
Well, that's the word, a headline yesterday. Powerful bipartisan group is forming in the House of Representatives to defund part of the TSA and defund the naked body scanners. As a former senior congressman, Bob Barr, let's talk about strategies that you could recommend to try to beat this and where your FOIA requests have gone with Liberty Guard dealing with these political persecution list, reportedly, that the TSA keeps on Americans. We'll be right back with Bob Barr on the other side.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
BobBarr.com, LibertyGuard.org. He was the presidential nominee in 2008 for the Libertarian Party, senior member of the House of Representatives. Bob Barr is our guest for this one segment to look at the whole TSA situation. Congressman, why have you weighed in and started an organization and FOIA request dealing with the stand down of Thanksgiving and the reported secret political persecution list of the TSA? Why, for you, is the TSA such an important issue?
It's such an important issue, Alex, because it embodies what is happening to our Fourth Amendment protection, which is the Fourth Amendment being the essential privacy protection that we as citizens in a free society have or should have against unreasonable government intrusion. If there is a better example other than some of the nonsense with the Patriot Act, which we can talk about on a different day, which is very important, a better example of how the government does not give a darn about the Fourth Amendment than what TSA is doing, then I'd like to hear it. When a person, and I've had this happen to me, goes through to board a plane, first of all, I don't think they have any right or reason to, you know, look at my ID. That has nothing to do with whether or not I have weapons or explosives. But be that as it may, once a person goes through the metal or explosive detectors, unless there is some other reason, articulable reason, the TSA has to suspect that person of posing a danger, they have no right whatsoever to search that person further and to say, well, simply because you don't want to have a nude body scan taken of you, you're going to have a groping, which used to be reserved for suspected criminals upon arrest or detention, that provides the reasonable suspicion is absolute nonsense. So the point is, if we don't stop the government here based on violation of Fourth Amendment, then there really is not going to be very much at all in the future that we'll be able to stop the government from doing. That's why this battle is so important.
Also, a new video is out of a congressman on C-SPAN, a congressman on a recent flight, said TSA patted down child, little old lady, but ignored a man in Arab garb. And that, of course, the Hill newspaper is also reporting that Paul Brown, Republican of Georgia, is saying, your state, well, I have to confirm, I fly quite a bit. And in places like Santa Rosa, San Jose, other areas, New Jersey, all I see is women and children. I do not see them. If somebody's in a wheelchair and can hardly walk, they go after them like wolves. If it's a baby, they check in the diaper. I've seen it. If it's a young woman, if you're wearing Arab dress and a turban, and I'm not saying, I'm not attacking those people and saying they should be singled out either. It's they're left alone. So this really just appears to be conditioning for the American people to have these federal goons. The FBI can't stick their hands down your pants without a warrant. How then can they do this?
Well, they do it because we let them do it. Because Americans by the millions say, oh, it makes us safer, or oh, I have nothing to hide. and therefore they like sheep, they let the government do this. The only way this is going to be stopped, I don't think it's going to happen through the courts, unfortunately, but we have to fight these battles through the courts also. The only way we're going to have any hope is if the people rise up against this and go to their members of Congress, go to their state legislatures, go to their senators, and demand that TSA be reined in and that the Fourth Amendment actually be given the power to protect individuals that it used to have.
Sir, looking at the TSA announcements that they want to be in high school proms, if you're a new listener, that's not a joke. In Santa Fe, a federal judge ruling that, well, we'll send them there to grope kids to make sure their rights aren't violated. It's just a bizarre Orwellian statement. Or TSA now actually in Florida, Texas, Massachusetts, New York, California are now setting up checkpoints on highways, not just bus terminals, and doing the groping and the hands and the pants. I mean, this is so off the charts. I can't even believe this is really happening. I mean, this is the Soviet Union didn't do this.
It's unprecedented. And again, if we don't put a stop to it pretty darn quick, the Fourth Amendment will have lost any meaning whatsoever. The same thing is happening even here in Georgia. TSA and Department of Homeland Security are setting up, I forget what the acronym stands for, the VIPR program, V-I-P-R, where they will set up roadblocks on major highways. Sometimes during rush hour, they will set up folks at train stations. You might have seen a couple of months ago this happened at the train station in Savannah, Georgia. And they will start conducting random searches of people, stopping trucks at truck stops, and, you know, supposedly looking for terrorists. I mean, utterly arbitrary, utterly nonsensical. But as you said a moment ago, and you're absolutely correct, this is conditioning Americans to having government be able to do anything it wants to them. It's not about security, Alex. It's about control.
Well, here's an example of that. I have been going down to Bolivar since I was a child, and I hadn't been in more than a decade, so I took my children there. And the ferry from Galveston to Bolivar, there's a road you can drive around a few miles out of the way. But I thought, let's take the little ferry. It takes about 5 minutes to go across. And when I pulled up, they had all the families out, and they search every car now and dig through your belongings before you get on the ferry. And then they said, well, you don't like this. We set up highway checkpoints now. And it's so asinine. And then with Dominique Strauss-Kahn, they have a new bill in New York State that all of the hotel maids must wear emergency necklaces because one guy might have tried to grope somebody. So the idea is the government will keep you safe from everything. Well, the government can't keep you safe from everything. And every time government claims it's going to do that, historically, congressmen, aren't they a government tyranny always the greatest threat to life, liberty?
It certainly is, because they have a monopoly on legitimate power in terms that they define what the citizens can or cannot do. It's the typical government reaction, whether it's about guns, whether it's about prescription drugs. For example, we just had a bill in Georgia that was passed and signed by Republicans, of course, that now sets up a database of prescription drugs. The reason for this is, well, there are these folks out there that abuse prescriptions. Therefore, in order to make law enforcement's job easier to catch these few scofflaws, we're going to inconvenience and invade the privacy of everybody that gets a prescription filled. And people just sit back and say, oh, it makes us safer. Well, it must be okay then.
And now with political hit list, we know medical records have been used by presidents and people. Now, if any of these cops without a warrant want to know exactly what I'm taking, exactly what my wife's taking, exactly what my children have taken, this is one of the most sacrosanct privacy areas there are.
And it's, I don't know how it is in Texas, but in Georgia and down in Florida, it's Republicans. I tell you, Alex, without exaggeration, Georgia's a perfect example. When the Republicans get into power and control both branches, both the executive and the legislative branches of state government, they impose more controls and invade more of our liberties than the Democrats did.
And that's what was so wonderful about the Texas situation, the unanimous 138 vote in the House to criminalize what's already criminal with the TSA, but start prosecuting these molesters, to have Republicans and Democrats come together for the Bill of Rights and Constitution, and then have the Republican David Dewhurst, a Bush Karl Rove protege, kill it in secret, and senators have gone public that he said, keep this secret, I'm doing this. What's your view of something like that?
It's highly unethical, certainly. It ought to outrage the citizenry. It ought to outrage the governor. I mean, what does Governor Perry intend to do about this?
Well, Senator Dan Patrick, the next senior Republican senator under Dewhurst, is the one blowing the whistle, and others are now in the papers saying, oh, yeah, Dewhurst had federal lobbyists with him and was threatening everyone and saying they couldn't pass it while publicly saying he supported it. I mean, if that isn't a new level of political treachery, I don't know what is.
Well, it's political treachery and political cowardice as well. And I'm delighted that you're standing firm on this and bringing light to this, and hopefully many, many of your other colleagues in the media will be doing the same. And I hope Perry does not. I hope he doesn't just cave into this.
Now, we've only got a minute left. I ran out of time. Your FOIA request, you told me privately you're getting ready to sue if they don't answer your FOIAs. Speak to that briefly. And then also Homeland Security saying they won't show the statute where they have the authority to stick hands down pants.
The TSA is an agency with the support of its parent agency, Department of Homeland Security, that believes it's above the law, very honestly. And Congress needs to step in and rein it in. In the absence of that, what we're doing at Liberty Guard, www.libertyguard.org, is going through the Freedom of Information Act, which TSA is fighting. And it looks like we're just trying to get some basic information on how all of this, these scanners and the groping is being conducted and so forth, and under what authority. They're refusing to divulge it, and it looks like we'll have to go through the court system. And, we'll need people's support for that.
Absolutely. And now we learn Congress wanted the radiation readings, and then they gave them fake ones. I mean, these guys think they're God.
Oh, they do. I used to think that being a lawyer that the most powerful people on the face of the earth were federal judges once they get the robe and they're kids compared to these folks at TSA and Department of Homeland Security.
Congressman Bob Barr, thanks for the update. Look forward to having you on soon dealing with the Patriot Act and your upcoming lawsuit. Thank you. We'll be back. Well, there's a bunch of issues here before I get into all the other financial and geopolitical, and Obama now quoted again saying he's got a stealth plan to get our guns. I want to spend some time on this TSA situation because this affects not just the U.S., but the entire planet, not just Texas, but every state in this union. It is now confirmed what we told you 9 years ago, because then it was public as well, just not widely circulated, that the TSA is the domestic national security force. And you notice it's bipartisan, Bush, Obama, across the board. They want to make this a Republican-Democrat issue, so when Obama's in, Democrats will support the TSA, and then when Republicans are in, they'll support it. That's how they divide us in the left-right paradigm. I don't care if you're a liberal, conservative, libertarian, communist, Easter Bunny, whatever it is, you shouldn't want this to be done to you and your family. I mean, the Soviet Union, at its height, didn't take Miss Soviet Union or whatever at a checkpoint and stick their hands down her pants. No one would ever, not in communist China. I talk to folks that fly there all the time, even touch your body. If they're suspicious or think you're doing something, they call you in behind closed doors and interrogate you. But again, political correctness, they're not making a mistake here. We don't want to target certain groups so everyone has hands down their pants. It's designed that way. So they flip it around and say, all of you are guilty. But I'm digressing. Here's the points I want to get into. A, great job to the hundreds of people that showed up during the afternoon and throughout the evening when they closed the day's session. at past 11 o'clock at night. Folks were in the gallery you said traitors, treason, and Dewhurst made sarcastic remarks to the media saying, I guess they don't like all we've done for them, and then laughed about Patrick and made some sarcastic comments about Senator Patrick, who's now exposed Dewhurst. I want to talk about the state police. I had a Dutch film crew with me, and they couldn't believe citizens marching into a Capitol and screaming at the lobbyists, screaming at the senators, going to their offices and screaming at them. Well, that's what freedom looks like. If you don't have that, you've got the opposite what this country's now turned into. That's your birthright. And if you don't like seeing people behave like that and do things like that, and this, quote, civil society, when you have an outrageous federal power grab meant to break our will, meant to set a precedent where they can do anything they want, extreme tyranny calls for extreme actions. And this was not extreme actions, going down there and showing them that we're angry and getting in their face and then garnering literally hundreds of TV stations. There were hundreds of TV stations there in the final days of the Texas legislature. And at any one time, I had 20 news cameras around me. And then my job was done in an hour and 20 minutes. I left and I said, okay, all you great patriots that came out, you go be on the media now. They were all over TV, our listeners, and all over newspapers. And they stayed there till past 11 o'clock at night. Just absolutely incredible to see the people there, frankly, a lot of them doing a better job than I did when I saw them on the news. And there's no way to watch all the newscasts. There are hundreds of Texas newscasts, dozens of national newscasts, hundreds of newspapers. Another devastating blow against the globalists. Oh, they unanimously passed it in the House, 138-0. They had 30 of 31 senators, almost unanimous, and Dewhurst killed it. And we now know how Dewhurst killed it. And we won this battle. Oh, we didn't lose by them engaging in this treachery. Many Texas papers across the board, both Democrat and Republican editorial boards, are saying Dewhurst is done. Dewhurst, it's over. You know why? He didn't proudly get up and say, I work for the Justice Department, and I want to be a U.S. senator, and I'm a toady, and I've worked with Obama's people. He let senators know, and they're on record, saying, don't let anybody know. I can't have fingerprints on this. We're going to kill it. And he worked the floor and made threats and made promises to kill it and knocked the 30 of 31 votes down to almost zero with some of these cowards. And the fact that his treachery has been shown and the fact that finally Senator Patrick hit him with both barrels and said, you are a disgrace. You are a traitor. I mean, he's all over the news here. You did this behind the scenes. I will not support you for U.S. Senator. I will not support you for governor. And Patrick's as powerful as it gets in the Senate. I mean, Patrick, finally, your people are finally starting to become Americans again and say, I don't care about being a political toady. I'm taking you on. They're finally becoming Texans. We're going to talk about this on the other side. Liberty is contagious.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Okay, folks, here's the deal. I had State Representative David Simpson, who helped author the bill and was the main leader on the unanimously passed bill to enforce the law and not let TSA stick their hands on the outside and inside of men, women, and children's pants and grab their genitals. And he, when he left us, I talked to him during the break, and he said, yeah, we've still got till, like, you know, later tonight, the last day of the session, or the last day for this bill to be able to get through. There may be a day or two left, but a lot's happening. The point is we need to get down there today. We need to go to the Capitol, Texas Capitol. Did you know this? It's normal. You go and you talk to your state senators, not the House members. They unanimously voted to do the right thing. You can go pat them on the back if you want. But what needs to be done first is there's only 31 of these senators, and you need to go to every one of their offices And you can also go in the gallery and, you know, watch the whole thing in session. And let these folks know that in their offices that you do not like what's happening. So that's what we're dealing with right now. And I've already got Rob Jacobson down there. He sees a few people. Obviously, I just called for this an hour ago. I'm going to leave here at about 2:10 Central, and I'll be down there in part by 2:30, 2:40 or so. The point is, this, I'll be in there. You'll see me. But the point is, it's for you as a citizen to go talk. It's not even a demonstration or a rally. Later, if folks want to congregate, you know, on the South Lawn or something, media needs to be there. You know, I guess we could do that at 4 o'clock or something. The point is, I've even got other stuff I got to do on top of this. We just need to go down there, talk to our senators, because they're just ignoring the phone calls, because they're getting so many phone calls right now, and say, look, it's illegal what the TSA is doing. They don't have a law to back it up. The state rep talked about that earlier. They're just brazenly doing it. We need to get down there. We need to go. I'm asking you to go. I don't do a lot of demonstrations or events. I've done it. I've been on international television, national TV, Nightline, you name it. I've spoken to rallies of 10,000 people, 2,000 people, 1,000. I don't just go around doing these events because I realize that it's about talking to the senators. It's about informing people electronically through the media, but showing yourself on events like this, this is what it's all about. It's about the people showing that, you know, by their physical presence, that they are against what's happening. Now, joining us from Tripoli, Libya, under months and months of bombardment, British attack helicopters now being dispatched, U.S. and British forces advising admitted Taliban and al-Qaeda in the fight against Muammar Gaddafi. The attempted assassinations are ongoing, and they're not even calling them assassinations, even though they're admitted. The Russians are now calling for an immediate ceasefire in Libya, saying this is an attack, a humanitarian disaster. They now admit the rest of the Arab Springs are being funded by the CIA. That's now admitted. Google and others in Europe have just been praised for it. Former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney has been demonized because she has a lot of courage. She spoke up against DynCorp and Halliburton child kidnapping rings and got Rumsfeld to admit it. She fought against forced inoculations. She fought against the Patriot Act. She has a lot of courage, and she's a member of the Green Party. She's been awarded the Peace Through Conscience Award from the Munich American Peace Committee. And yesterday, she appeared on state-run Libyan TV, and that's caused quite a hubbub here domestically because she has the courage to go to that. We were talking to her yesterday on the phone with bombs going off in the background. Congresswoman, we appreciate you joining us.
Alex, it's been too long. I have wanted to come on your show for so long, but it's quite, you know, whenever we get together, it's wonderful. So thank you so much for having me on. And, you know, it's dark here now, and after the meeting of President and Cameron, we expect that there will be intense bombing tonight. We don't know that, but we expect that that's what is in store for us. More humanitarian intervention from NATO.
And Obama told Cameron, no let-up on Gaddafi. Now, have you talked to Gaddafi? What have you witnessed? What are you seeing? We're seeing the images of civilian dead, burning buildings, and our media tells us, 1984 style, this is not an assault, this is not an attack, this is humanitarian. They're sinking, what, 8 ships last week in the harbor, bombs going off everywhere, more bombs yesterday. What are you witnessing?
They're lying. The American people are being lied to, not only by the media, by their leaders. And this is becoming a humanitarian disaster. For example, I have an Italian woman here who did everything she could to purchase medicines because they want to purchase medicines. And the government of Italy put a stop on the purchase by the Libyans of medicine for their people.
And that's a violation of the Geneva Convention. That is a serious war crime.
That's right. And then we have the situation with fuel for civilian use. They have effectively blockaded the harbor so that deliveries of benzene to fuel the cars is not permitted. And this is affecting the civilian population. So you will see what looks like a traffic jam. And actually, it's cars lined up, hundreds of cars lined up at the service station.
So they have Libya under siege. Tell us what it's like on the ground. Tell us what you're witnessing. Tell us what you said on Libyan television.
Well, basically, now here's the interesting thing, because these people, the Libyans, are undeterred. They seem to be unafraid. I was with a group of women. I wrote in the piece that I did, A Feast of Blood, about a woman whose mother is in Benghazi. And she can't, it's sort of like the situation with Hurricane Katrina, she can't get back to Benghazi because, you know, Benghazi is the stronghold of the rebels. Now, the interesting thing, what I've been told today, I haven't checked it out yet, but that there is sort of active Israeli intervention in Benghazi, and that the Israelis are on the ground under contract, probably being paid to organize the NATO alliance of that consists of Libyans. But it's my understanding that these so-called rebels are not just Libyans; they are people from all over the region. These are not even mainly Libyans. These are Egyptians and Algerians.
It's the CIA secret al-Qaeda brigades from the 1980s. That's now been admitted.
Yes.
And there's U.S. and British commandos have been there since before it started. That's now confirmed. This is absolutely incredible. Why did you decide to go to Libya, former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney?
Well, I guess, you know, I'm accustomed to going into conflict zones, and I just could not accept that this was being done in my name. And, you know, there comes a point when you're fed up, you're tired, and you want to do as much as you can possibly do. And, of course, I come from the Catholic tradition that instructs us that we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to do as much as we are gifted to do. And so being here was my way of making a contribution. And sure enough, the fact that I was here when the most intense bombardment of Tripoli, this is Tripoli, I mean, can you imagine? I'm not talking about, you know, out in the farmland where you're just despoiling the agricultural land. I'm talking about Tripoli, a metropolitan area of 2 million people, and they're being hit with bombs. I mean, it is absolutely incredible.
And it's called humanitarian.
What that has to do with any kind of humanitarian intervention is beyond me. This is what we know the United States to be very good at, and particularly on the African continent. We've seen it over and over and over again. Individuals of wealth and resource who are able to pull the levers on U.S. military and diplomatic policy are able to arm a small group of people, give them the financial wherewithal to wreak havoc and terror on a population, and then all of a sudden, presto, abracadabra, you've got what is called in the media a civil war. Well, it's not a civil war. It's a group of people who've decided that they want something that particular area has. For example, in Sierra Leone, it was diamonds. And when the British sandline mercenaries went into the home of Fode Sanko, what did they find there? A letter And I am certain that at the end of an investigation, were we to have one, we would find that there are certain individuals involved in this, and they are able to dictate to the president, to Cameron, to Sarkozy, to all of the NATO allies, they are able to dictate them going to war.
Well, we know what
That's
it's about.
What this is about.
The Al-Qaeda rebels have already set up their own bank. They've already set up their own oil company. And it's about handing over the trillions in oil, also the water. Say what you want about Muammar Gaddafi. He's built up an infrastructure. He's actually delivered to the people the government spoils. And it's become a major hub for all of Africa. And he's been developing Africa and moving towards an African currency and a loan program. He's got hundreds of billions in gold and other resources. And you can say what you want about Gaddafi, but bottom line, this is a takeover. You know, how can the neocon media call you a traitor for being over there reporting the truth when it's admitted that what Gaddafi said 3 months ago is true, that the main force, this is now in the Wall Street Journal and LA Times, that is running all this is Al-Qaeda. And in fact, the Al-Qaeda commander under CIA payroll admits that he killed U.S. soldiers or commanded groups in Iraq. So you're against people that killed U.S. soldiers, and so you're bad. Cynthia, I mean, what's wrong? Just join Al-Qaeda, and the neocons are going to say you're great.
Well, that's exactly the point, because we remember what Robin Cook, the now deceased foreign minister of the United Kingdom, had to say about Al-Qaeda. He just said it was the CIA's Rolodex. So it is.
And he died a week later. That killed him real fast.
And they got rid of him. Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's not the situation that the United States is allied with Al-Qaeda is not unusual. What is unusual is that they actually admit it, because what they have been saying to the American people and to the world is that Al-Qaeda is the bad guy, and that's who we've got to get. But I will never forget the op-ed that was written by Robin Cook. And so I advise everybody, I know you talk about this, and you know, you're one of the rare truth tellers, and so you will remember this, but the fact that we had someone of Robin Cook's stature and position to tell us the truth about exactly what Al-Qaeda was is very important and something not to be forgotten.
I agree, and the word was he was going to come out and document that they'd murdered Dr. David Kelly. It's now coming out they murdered Diana. That's big news. And they couldn't allow him with that high level, you know, like number two or three in the British government. They killed him so fast it made everybody's head spin. Now, Congresswoman, this is so important. What is the mood of the Libyans under these love bombs that are killing so many, these humanitarian kinetic attacks, and the word of the attack helicopters coming, more weapons? I don't bring this up because you're black. It's in the news. We reported it over a month ago that Gaddafi's been allied with just a coalition, and the tribes he's with are not anti-black African. And it's admitted that they're lining up blacks and killing them in the areas held by Al-Qaeda. What's the word on that, on the genocide against black Africans in Libya?
Well, here's another thing that is absolutely astounding, and that is this whole idea that black people shouldn't be in Africa, which is something that was promulgated by the American press. When I presume is that when they landed and they saw black people all over Libya, they were shocked. Well, the fact of the matter is that you've got a sizable chunk of black people in Libya because you've got black people all over Africa. it's horrible and it's insulting to the Libyans themselves. And so now they have their own citizens who are being killed, beheaded. In fact, I'm having the video of this. I think there may be some footage of this on the internet already, but I am getting it uploaded now so that I can disseminate it through my own network of the family members of those Libyans who were lynched. They've gone to lynching and beheadings of the blacks, and this is being done by the NATO allies.
Because it's known that blacks, on average, are supportive of Gaddafi because he doesn't lynch them and chop their heads off.
Well, now, look, what, Alex, in Libya, guess what? People don't have to go through the insurance company in order to get to see their doctor. They have free health care over here. They don't have to go through a bank in order to have a relationship with their professor at a university because they have free education over here. All the way up through the PhD level, you go to school and you don't pay
attention. No, I've studied Libya. I don't even agree with socialism because it only works if you have a benevolent dictator, and I'm not saying he's that, but Gaddafi does take most of the money and actually use it. That I've you've been there many times. I've seen the video, the reports. It is a shining jewel of development, and they want that giant canal he's built, that huge airport they built for AFRICOM to launch attacks all over Africa. I mean, really, Libya is the beachhead to really take over Africa. Is that the word there?
That's right. And in addition to that, you have the European countries were trying to have some Mediterranean alliance. And what they proposed was that the African countries on the Mediterranean littoral be joined in a economic arrangement with all of Europe. And Gaddafi was the one who said, no, that's not fair. If it's all of Europe, then it ought to be all of Africa. And so he put a stop to that particular plan. And so that is in limbo now. But, of course, you know, nothing would be in limbo if you got those puppets, the NATO allies, in control and recognized as a legitimate government of Libya.
Cynthia, so incredible. Cynthia, incredible. What are the bombardments like? What are you witnessing? What is the feeling of the Libyan people that you've met with?
Well, I have had so many Libyans, you know, it's kind of obvious that I'm an American, and once I open my mouth. And so they asked me, why? Why are the Americans doing this? Because, you know, Gaddafi made many concessions and invited the American companies in. I mean, you know,
he made a deal. He gave up the weapons. He kissed their rump. I mean, he did everything.
That's right. And the American companies are here. They're here in full force. And even that wasn't good enough. Now, there's another thing that I'll be writing a little bit more about, and that's supposed to be the geological survey that the Libyan government had just to ascertain exactly what their resources were and the extent of whatever the mineral reserves were that they had. And it, apparently it came back that Libya had far more oil resources than they previously thought.
Yeah, the word is instead of 1 trillion, 5 trillion, the oil worth almost as much as all the rest of the oil that's been discovered in Africa from the numbers I've seen, and one of the biggest areas with deep aquifers of water. Now we've only got about 7-8 minutes left with Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, former Congresswoman. What are the best websites for people to read your reports of what's really happening in Libya and other key points that you'd like to add for the international media that is undoubtedly going to pick up on this interview today?
Well, I presume that people could go to my Facebook page or Twitter, and they can get the dispatches that I send out. I'm in the process of preparing one now about how the Gaddafi family members were murdered. I went and visited that compound, and that is amazing. It's not even a compound. It's a house in a residential neighborhood. I mean,
and that's, you know, illegal too. I mean, they're bombing houses. They're trying to kill him and his family, and then telling the public, "Oh, we're not doing that."
I know. It is just patently patent lies. Now, you asked about what it's like to be here. I mean, you know, it's like every time I'm in a hotel room and every time the air conditioner comes on, you know, I kind of jump because I know it's dark now and the bombardment's going to start. And so any kind of pop or, you know, I've only been through it, what, 3 or 4 nights now? And can you imagine what our soldiers go, you know, are like when they come back with post-traumatic stress syndrome? When they go through it night after night for month after month, for year after year? This is, and the effect on the children and on average ordinary civilians who are in no way, you know, we don't even know what the NATO design is other than to kill Gaddafi and to take over the country.
And we know that the folks on the east, a lot of them, want to slaughter the folks on the west, old tribal differences, and I'm sure just like the UN has helped carry out massacres in Rwanda and other areas, they can't wait.
That's right.
To help out there. They're going to help folks with this humanitarian mass murder. Now, what do you make of the Russians coming out and saying, this is not humanitarian, they're going to try to go to the UN and put a veto in? What do you expect to happen there? Pakistan now says the U.S. is getting ready to start a war with them. The Chinese are saying they're ready to go toe-to-toe. I mean, it looks like we're moving towards World War III, all with the left cover of Obama up there.
Well, of course, that's why he was put in office to start with, you know. So, yes, I'm not surprised that all of this would be happening under President Obama's watch. And then, of course, we still have the Cold Warriors, who believe that Russia and China are the ultimate and penultimate enemies of the United States. And so rather than seeing the world as a global community, they see the world as a collection of rivalries that need to be overcome. And so I, for one, if the Russians or the Chinese are ready to put an end to what is happening here in Libya, I would say thank you very much for helping bring some sanity back into
policy. I would be against the Russians when they were taking over Eastern Europe, and I'm against that. I was for the Berlin Wall falling. I don't like any tyrants. We have become that. You don't see Russia and China blowing countries up everywhere.
No, and in fact, if you look at what the Chinese have done, I've seen the tangible results of what the Chinese have provided in terms of development assistance around the African continent.
Well, that's the word that AFRICOM's going in, and the Pentagon admits this, to block the Chinese developing Africa.
Yes, that's right. And the worst thing, of course, you know, from the whole idea about what's a threat, the threat only can be carried out if there is the means by which to do so. And as long as you keep people poor and deprived, then they do not have the ability to challenge you, whether it's in areas of finance or is in education or science or whatever, then you can remain top dog.
Exactly. Shifting gears, because we're almost out of time. We're going to 1 minute break. If you can stay five more, fine, but I don't know yet. Congresswoman, what do you make? I know you're over in Libya, bravely under bombardment, so you probably don't know, but the media is trying to demonize you. How dare you go report what's happening? You know, how dare you go give another view on things? What do you make of the demonization of yourself for being over there?
Alex, you know what it's like. I mean, you know, I'm here with Washington Times, Los Angeles Times, and the Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and the New York Times reporters. And the first thing that came out of their mouth to me was, you're so courageous to be here. But, you know, they would never print it. And so at the end of the day, it goes with the territory of telling the truth.
That's right. Our job's easy. We just tell the truth, but few have the courage you have. Let me talk to you during this 1 minute break, see if you can stay. If not, this will be it.